Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Dab Tzadichet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Miro Sutton. Firifua Shedema Meir Ben Yafa. El Narefana Lo, El Narefana Lo. Tuch She'ar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Nun Ishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenehem Began Eden. Amen. We are going to start on Saddi Zayin Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan Azorek Mirshut Rabbim Mirshut Rabbim Mirshut Yahid Be'emsa. Person throws on Shabbat from a Rishut Rabbim to a Rishut Rabbim, and there is a Rishut Yahid in the middle. So it says, Dalid Amot, if he threw four Amot, Hayav, Pachot Me'arba Amot, Patur. Now the case of it we're talking is where he threw in the Rishut Rabbim four Amot, which means, even though, let's say he threw two Amot in the first Rishut Rabbim, and then two Amot in the second Rishut Rabbim, you're going to combine the Amot of both Rishut Rabbims to come to a combination of four Amot. Rashi says it on the bottom, Mirshut Rabbim, Mirshut Rabbim, Mirshut Yechim Be'emsa, Dalar Amot Hayab, Im Avar, Mirshut Rabbim, Dalar Amot, Vafilu Al Yedet Siruf. Which means, let's say it went two Amot in the first Rishut Rabbim, then it flew over the Rishut Yahid, and went another two Amot in the second Rishut Rabbim, according to the first opinion, Hayav. Pachot Me'arba Amot, if it flew less than four Amot, which means, let's say it flew just two Amot in the first Rishut Rabbim, and then one Amma in the second Rishut Rabbim, so it's going to be Patur. My Kamash Ma'alan, what's the Hadush of this case? So there's two Hadushim. HaKamash Ma'alan, the Rishuyot Mistarfot. First of all, you learn the principle that you can combine the measurement of four Amot in different Rishuyot, which means different Rishut Rabbims can combine to the sum total of four Amot. Udlo amrinan kluta kemoshiunha. And secondly, we see we don't hold kluta kemoshiunha, because if you held the principle of kluta, so you'd be hayav even less than four amot, because you went from a reshut rabim to a reshut yahid. The reshut yahid was in the middle. If you said kluta, it would be considered as if it rested in the reshut yahid. And the fact that we did not discuss the anyan of hachnasa, that you went into the reshut Hayahid or Hotsa'ah, that you went from the Yahid to the Rabim, that obviously says that we're not going with the opinion of Kluta Kemoshiunha. So there is two Hadushim in this Braita. Number one, Rishuyot Mistarfot, that you can combine different Rishuyot to get to the prescribed measurement. However, you do not say Kluta Kemoshiunha. Amar Rav Shemuel Bar Yuda, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Ravuna, Amar Rav. Hamavir dalir amot rishut rabim mekora patur. If a person transfers four amot, he carries four amot in the public domain. However, it's roofed. The rishut rabim has a roof over it. Patur. That type of rishut rabim, even though it might have the width of a rishut rabim and it might have the population of a rishut rabim, but since it is roofed, so one is going to be patur. Why? If he she'enu dome ledegle midbar, because it's not compared to the way it was in the midbar. The midbar was a reshut rabim and it was not roofed. So therefore, we learn that only unroofed reshut rabim, like the midbar, is going to be hayav on Shabbat. However, as a roof on it, is going to be patur. Now the Gemara asks the question: Ini, we have a contradiction. Ve'ha agalot de mekorot avyan. The agalot, which were the wagons that carried the kirashim on them, that carried the planks of the Mishkan on them. And the Gemara is going to prove to us that these agalot with the planks on them came out that they were roofed. Now, how were they roofed? So that she is going to tell us the dimensions of the agalot, and then we'll see exactly how they were roofed. Rashi. We start the ha agalot de mishkan de mekorot avu bekerashim asidurim alehem, with the kerashim, the planks that were placed on them, lehavan leorech ha'agala, they were placed the width of the plank to the length of the agala, veorkan leruchban al rosh defanoteha, which means they placed the planks on top of the walls of the agala, vekasalka datach al pene kol orech ha'agalot ayu mesudarot. At this point we're assuming that they placed the kerashim across the entire agala. That will change. Now, the Gemara tells us, Ve'amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chaya, and Rav taught us in the name of Rabbi Chaya, Agalot, the Agalot of the Mishkan, Tahtehen, under them, Ubenehem, between them, Visiddehem, and on the side of them, Reshut Arabim. All the areas in those three spots, whether it's under the Agalot, whether it's on the side of the agalot, or whether it's in between the agalot, all those areas are going to be considered reshut harabim. Even though with the kerashim placed on them, those three areas are going to be roofed areas. Now that she's going to tell us how. We read the Rashi, Dibur HaMatkhil, Ubenehem. Ben agala la'agala shebesida. Now we remember the configuration in the Mishkan. When they used to load up the wagons, they used to have two rows of two wagons, and one wagon and the wagon behind it, and then next to it, you had one wagon and a wagon behind it. Now, they used to load up the wagons with the kerashim. So it says, "Va'afal pi sherashi kerashim yotzim lekan ulkan shtei amot u'mechsa lechol ruach." Now, when they put the kerashim on the wagons, the kerashim's measurement was 10 amot. That's how long they were. Now the agala itself measured 5 amot. Now how did the agala measure 5 amot? The space between the walls of the agala was 2.5 amma, and from the wall to the end of the wheel on one side was 1.25 amma, and from the wall, including the wheel on the other side, was another 1.25 amma, which altogether made the agala 5 amot. And therefore, when you place the kerish across the width of the agala, so the kerish protruded 2.5 amma on both sides, because the kerish was 10 amot. So it had a 5 amma. It was over 5 amot, so it was split 2.5 and 2.5. Now, if you have an agala on the side of it with a kiddush on it as well, so it's going to protrude 2.5 amma out the other way. So therefore the kiddushim are going to meet, so to speak, in the middle, and they're going to form a roof. Now you have to remember they placed at least 3 sets of kiddushim on the agala. The kiddushim's width was 1.5 amma. So in a 1.5 amma, they were able to place, they had to line them up, let's say, right, across the width of the agala. So let's say they were able to place 3 of them, right, that would give you a 4.5 amma, right, they were able to line 3 up, each one is 1.5 amma width, they would line it up 3, and they would stack them, as that she's going to tell us. That she says, and we'll read it inside now. Ubenehem. Ben agala la agala shebitsida. Right? Between each agala that was next to each other. Rafa pi shedashia kerashim yotzin lekan ulekan. Right? The heads of the kerashim would protrude. Shte amotu mechsa lechol ruach. 2.5 amma to each side. Verashia kerashim shel agala zu. And the heads of the kerashim of this agala magi'in rashia kerashim shel zu shebitsida. They would reach the one that was next to it. Share hamesh amot ayu ben agala la agala. There was 5 amma also between the agalot. So therefore there was a space. Kedelekaman. Verahav agala hamesh amot. And the width of the agala is also 5 amot. Hachalal shte amot u mersa. The airspace between the walls of the agala, wall to wall was 2.5 amah, ubena defanot ve'ofanim, and between the wall and the wheels of the agala, the ovi ofanim, including the width of the wheels, shte amot u'mehsa. Altogether was 2 amot u'mehsa, meaning 1.25 amah on each side. Now if you want to just see that in your Pidush Hai, you could look at picture number 480. Picture number 480, you see the width of the agala would be 2.5 amah, and from the walls of the agala, including the wheels, would be 1.25 amah on each side, which would bring you to 5 amah. Okay, if you want to look at the picture inside, you see picture 480. Now she continues, the yud amot orecha kiddush, and the kiddush, its length was 10 amot. When you place the length of the kiddush on the width of the agala, nimseu bet amot u'mehsa boltin mikol tzad. You have 2.5 amma protruding on each side. So you see the space between the two agalot is going to be roofed. If you look at your picture, you'll see that in number 481, where you see the kedashim protrude from both sides of the agala on both sides, and now they form, let's say, a roof in the middle. And that's what Rav meant when he said that, when it said benehem, which means this spot in between the agalot is considered a reshut rabim, even though it is mekorah, even though it is roofed. Now tahtehen would mean under the agala itself. Now under the agala itself is also roofed, right? Under the wagons itself is considered reshut rabim, and sidehen would be considered in between, let's say, the wheel and the axle. And that 1.25 amah underneath that spot over there, let's say, you know, the wheel protrudes a little, so there was a little there's a little space under there, but it's roofed again because that's the kedashim covering it, so that's considered siddehen. So those three areas, tahtehen again is under the agala itself, benehem is in between the agalot, and siddehen is by the wheel, between the wheel and the wall. All those areas, the Gemara says, are considered reshut rabim, even though it is mekorah, it is walled, it is roofed. And how could you tell me that a reshut rabim mekorah is patur? What do you mean? We see clearly that in the midbar they did have reshut rabim mekorah based on the agalot. So again, again, we read the Gemara from the third line. Again, we read it again from the beginning. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Hamavir Dal Ramot Beshuta Rabbi Mekora Patur. Why? Lefi She'enu Domel Degle Medbar. Ini, we have a contradiction. Veha Agalot De Mekorot Avyan, they were roofed. The Amar Rav Naftor Beshum Rabbi Chaya Agalot Tahten, under the Agala itself. Between the agalot, because the kedashim formed a roof, it's them, and on the sides of them, meaning under the wheels, reshut rabim. So we have a question. So the Gemara says, "Ki kamar Rav bedarata." Rav was referring to the area where there were gaps. Now, where there were gaps, Rashi bedarata berevach sheben shurot haseder. Which means when they lined up the kedashim on the agala, there was some gaps between each stack of kedashim. How does he says shayas soder kedesh al kedesh? Right, they would have to stack them, one kedesh over another kedesh. Seder echad u'manichor revach. Right, then he would leave space between one stack. V'soder seder achay. Then he would stack a second stack. U'manichor revach. Right, and he would leave a space in between. Which means, if you look at your pictures on page 108 in your Perush Chais, you see how they stacked the mishkan, or the agalot, into three stacks, right? Each stack had four stacked high, because we're going to learn that altogether there was 48 kedashim, and there were four wagons, so they placed 12 on each wagon. Since the wagons were 5 amot wide, and the kedashim were 1.5 amah wide themselves, so you were able to stack three stacks, That would bring you to 4.5 amah, and you would have a half amah in between, an airspace, right? A quarter amah between stack 1 and 2, and a quarter amah between stack 2 and 3. No, you have 5 amah is the... There weren't 6. The agalot were 5. That's the fact. Fact be told, the agalot were 5. Since the agalot were 5, the maximum amount of stacks that you would be able to place of kedashim, if you're placing them on their width, would be 3 stacks, because each stack is 1.5 amah wide. Hence, you have 4.5 amah, that leaves you with a half amah airspace. So that means they would separate the stacks by a quarter of amah space. So that's what the Gemara said. When the Gemara said that Tahtehen, Benehem, and Sedem is a Shuta Rabim, it meant in the areas of the Nartav, the gaps. You're right, the area that has roofs over it, really, it's not considered Shuta Rabim. What was Rav talking about? Those little gaps are going to be considered Shuta Rabim because they do not have a roof over them. Which you take the same the same thing, which means when these kedashim are going to meet each other in the middle, there's gaps, because the gaps go across the whole thing. So under the gaps is considered Benehem. That's where the Benehem is going to be considered Eidah Shutrim. But under the kedashim themselves will not be considered Shutrim. That's the way the Gemara reconciles the answer. So comes the Gemara and says, Mechti, let us analyze. Urka, the Agala itself has a din of Reshuta Yahid. We're discussing underneath where there's the midbar, which is Reshut Rabim. So the question is if it has the roof or not. So the Gemara says, Mechni, let's analyze. Urka da agala kamavai. What was the length of the agala? Hamesh amah. It was 5 amah, like we learned. Putya de keresh. The width of the keresh kamavai. How much was it? Amta upalga. Was 1 amah and a half. Kama motiv, how many stacks would you be able to place? Tlata, 3 stacks. Pashale, palga de amta. So you're going to be left with half an amma. 3 stacks, which is 4.5, you're left with half an amma. Kishade le mor bene u bene. Now when you're going to place them like that, you're going to have gaps in between. However, kelavudame. What about the rule of lavud? Because a quarter of an amma is how many tefachim? Well, we know that an amah equals 6 tefachim. And therefore, a quarter of an amah equals 1.5 tefachim. So 1.5 tefachim is obviously less than 3 tefachim. Now, we learned yesterday that when you have a gap of less than 3 tefachim, you say the principle of lavud. And once you say the principle of lavud, it's like... it's connected, and therefore have a deen as if it is roofed. So therefore we're back to the same question. Even if you're going to put the kedashim in that formation, where you're going to put 3 stacks of 4 high on the agala, which was 5 amot wide, let's say, long, and it's going to altogether give you 4.5 amah of kedashim with a quarter of an amah gap in between, but that gap is less than 3 tefachim, and therefore we're going to say the deen of lavud. If you say the deed of lavud, so you're back to the question. Bottom one, you do see it's roofed, and still it's calling it a reshut harabim. So comes the Gemara and says, "Mi sabar kedashim afutiyayu ava manachleu." But did you think you stacked the kedashim afutiyahu on the width of them, which means on the 1.5 side of them? Ahudan manachleu. We placed them on the narrow side, which means the narrow side of the kedashim was 1 amma. And therefore we didn't place it on the wide side, we placed it on the narrow side. Now let's analyze. If you place it on the narrow side is an amma. How many can you fit across? Well, technically, if you want to squeeze them in, you could fit 5, because bottom line, it's 5 amma long. However, Rashi tells us that it would be a tight squeeze to put exactly 5 rows of kedashim in a space of 5 amma. And as we're going to learn, that was not possible because the kedashim used to have rings that were protruding out of them, like we're going to see. So really, you didn't have leverage to put 5. So how much could you place? let's say you placed stacks of four, because you don't want to place stacks of three, because when you have a base of one amma, that's a very narrow base to stack things very high, and therefore it'll be wobbly. And therefore, if you're going to put an amma and stack them four high, it's they're going to fall. So therefore, what they probably did was they stacked them one amma, one amma, one amma, one amma, four across, three high. That's already a little more balanced. Now, if you stack them like that, so you have four amot, right? Now, you have how much amma left? You have one amma. One amma in divided into three airspaces. Now, if one amma is six tefachim, that means in each airspace you're going to have two tefachim. So we're back to the same question. Even if you put them on the narrow part, you're still going to have an issue of lavud. Because bottom line, in between the gaps of the kiddushin is going to be two tefachim. You can look at your picture books on 483, you see the four stacks of kiddushin, and you see the two tefachim in between each stack, and therefore bottom line, it's still considered roof. So the Gemara says, sof, bottom line, sumcha de kiddush kamave. The narrow part of the thickness of the kiddush is how much? Amta is one amma. Kama hava motif, how many could you place across? Arba, you could place four across. Pashala amta, you're going to be left over with how much? One amma left. Kishadela mor beneu bene, when you're going to place them that way, you're going to have the air spaces in between. Kelavudame, again, you're going to have the issue of lavu, because it's only going to be two tefachim in between. So therefore, again, the Gemara asked the question, you told me that it is shoot that a beam cannot be mikorah, because we didn't find it in the midbar. And now we're showing you that we did find it existed, because this is considered mikorah, and we know Rav said that under the agalot, between the agalot, and on the side of the agalot, it's all considered the shoot that a beam. And based on the rule of lavud, it's going to be considered roofed. So the Gemara says, "Hani galiman damar kirashi mil matan uvyan amma mil ma'lan kalyan ve'olchin ad ke'etzba shapir," which means, according to the opinion that says, the kirashim were not the same measurement on the bottom all the way up. There was a shita that said the kiddushim started off, let's say, thick on the bottom, and as they went up, they became narrow. So if you say that the kiddushim were narrow as they went up, for example, if you look in your picture books at 484, right, you see the kiddushim start off, let's say, an amma thick on the bottom. And as they go up, they come to a point, actually to an etzba. So then already, it'll be good. We'll understand, because you can place four across, and since they're narrow, there will be more than three tefachim in between the gaps. Because since they narrow out, so it'll give you more space in between, and therefore you don't say lavud, and therefore you have no problem of mekorah, and that'll answer the question. So therefore, if you hold that the kiddushim came to a point, no problem. We stacked them four across. Again, since they came to a point, so there was more space in between them, and therefore you did not have a situation of lavud, and therefore it's not considered mekorah, and therefore you're okay. However, ela leman d'amar, but according to the opinion that says, kishem shel matan ovyan amma, kach min ma'ala uvyan amma ma'ika lememar. But according to the opinion that says that the kiddushim were blocks, meaning there were an amma on the bottom, full block all the way up, so we're back to the question. Because if it was a full amma, like the pictures that we've seen on 108, you see they're full ammas, full blocks, across from the bottom to the top, then you're going to have a problem. Because if you set them four across, right, you're going to have less than three tefachim in between. You have a problem of lavu. Therefore, it's going to be bekora. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ika lememar, Amar Rav Kahana,
Rav Kana said, Be'et Ba'e.
What does Be'et Ba'e mean? So we will explain it according to the Girsa of Rashi. Rashi on the Amud Bet explains this word Be'et Ba'e as a different reading of it. He says Be'at Be'. And that's the Girsa also of a rabbi called the Aruch. What is At Be'? Literally, atbe means a paper clip. Now, what does that have to do with the kirashim? How did they used to make a clip? You take a piece of wood, and you split the wood down the middle, not all the way. Now there's a hole down the, a slit down the piece of wood. Now you're able to take papers, for example, and stick them in there and clip them. But the wood, since it's not split all the way through, is still connected. It's still one piece. So the Gemara is trying to say there is a way to set up the kirashim in what the Gemara is going to call clip formation. Now if you set it up in a clip formation, meaning you have five amma of agala, if you place, let's say, two kirashim flush against each other to one side of the agala, that'll take up two amot, and then on the other side you place two, right? That'll give you two amot, and now you have one amma in the middle. And one amma is six tefachim. So then we have no issue of lavud. So therefore, if you place them like that, you'll have no problem. The reshut terabim will be under the airspace, which means going across, you're going to have an amma of airspace, because you're going to place the kedashim be'at be', like a clip, just like a clip is a piece of wood that's split, but it's together. So to say, put the two pieces of wood of the kedashim, like an atbe', like a clip formation, on both sides of the agala. You can see that in your picture book on page 111, or actually 110, you could see it, at 488. You see how they placed it? Two on one side of the agala, and two on the other side of the agala. Now, if you notice in the picture, you're going to see there are some rings there. Now, that would be according to the text that says be'et ba'e. Et ba'e literally means like taba'ot, rings. Now, let's review how the Mishkan worked. The Mishkan had altogether 48 kirashim. Okay? 20 on the long sides. And on the west side you had six kirashim going across, okay? Now that's 20 and 20 and 6, plus two corner pieces, okay? Which we'll learn about the corner pieces in a moment. So that brought you to 48 kirashim. Now, the kirashim were placed in what's called adanim, sockets, in order to keep them from falling. They needed to place them in a socket. The socket is called an adin. Now, even when you place it in a socket, it still, you know, can shake. It can still move. So what they did was, there was rings on the kirashim. They're called tabaot. And through the rings, they would place what's called the bariyah. Bariyah was like a metal piece that would link across all the rings of the kirashim in order to keep them from falling, in order to make them, to give them a firmness, okay? So that's what the Gemara is telling us over here. Once you tell me that they had taba'ot on these kirashim, so now you have to factor in, when you're going to place them back to back, you have to place the ring, one ring facing, one side of the rings facing outside, and the other one with the rings facing inside, so the rings don't clash. I mean, the only way you can put them flush is that the rings are going to be on the outside. So that's, if you look at the picture in 488, you see that the outer kiddush, the rings are facing the outside, and the one that's next to it, the rings are facing inside, and then so to the two kiddushim in the clip formation on the other side. But what do we gain by this answer? We gain by this answer that what? You have an amma in between, and that's considered a legitimate airspace without saying lavud, and therefore we can say that they had the shoot and a beam that was not mekorah. So it comes again when I just hold it. Atba'e hekamanach lehu agaba da'agala. where did you put this atba'e? Where did you put these planks? You place it on top of the agala. Agala gufa mekora havai. Which is now the Gemara asked the obvious question that we could have asked in the beginning. The agala itself, the base of the wagon, had a plank on it, had a piece of wood on it. And therefore, that part of the agala is roofed. Which means, if you look at picture number 489, the assumption is that the agala had a base, like a regular base, that they, that's how you would hold rocks or sand. And therefore, if you say that, so then the agala had a base on it, so therefore underneath it obviously is going to be Mekora. One of the places that you said is considered a Shuta Rabim is where? It's underneath it. And if it's underneath it, so therefore it's going to be Mekora, the Shuta Rabim Mekora. So that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, Agala Gufa Mekora Havai. The agala itself was Mekora, was roofed. Amar Shemuel. So Shemuel said, Bitedot. What does bitedot mean? Bitedot literally means with planks. Meaning, the bottom of the agala did not have a flat board. It had slats of wood. And therefore, the slats of wood had air spaces in between. And therefore, it was not mekora even underneath the wagons. Okay? So let's just review where we got until now. Bottom line, we've proven that a reshut harabim that is roofed is not considered a reshut harabim, only when it's unroofed. And we've proven that the agalot, the areas by the agalot that were considered a reshut harabim, were only the areas that did not have a roof over it. Based on, again, the clip formation of placing two on one side and two on the other side, the rings protruding outward and inward, and we said that the base of the agala itself was not a flat base, but it was planked, and therefore there was an airspace indeed under the agala itself. Comes the Gemara further and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Kirashim Milmatan Uvyan Amma Umilma'lan Kalyan Veulchin Ad Ke'etzba. The first shita says that the configuration of the kiddush, it started wide as an amma on the bottom and went up to a point. That's one shita. Now, how do they know that that was the shape of the kiddush? Shnei emad yihyu tamim al rosho. The pasuk says that the top of the kiddush should be tamim. What is tamim? So the Gemara says, halanu omer. We have another pasuk that says tamu nichratu. We see the word tamu is like nikhratu. Nikhrat means cut. So yutamim means they should be, so to speak, cut on the top. Meaning they should not be a complete amma, they're tamim. As they go up, they become shaven, so to speak. So that's where he learns the shape of the kedesh from the word tamim. Yeyu tamim. Devei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Nehemya Omer, Keshem Shel Matan Ovyan Amma, Kach Mel Ma'alan Ovyan Amma. Rabbi Nehemya says, no, just like they were Amma on the bottom, they went all the way, and Amma all the way up. Shnei Emar, Yahdav. Yahdav means, so to speak, together, which means they were uniform. The bottom to the top was Yahdav, it was all the same, Shi'ud. Ah, Ba'aketif Tamim. So what does the Nehemya do with the word tamim? He says, no. Hahu deletu shelemim. From there you learn that it has to be from one solid piece of wood. Tamim is like tam. Tam would mean shalem, complete. Velo litu denisra. But you can't bring fragments of wood and put them together to make a kiddush. Has to be from one piece of wood. Ve'idach nami haketiv yahdav. Oh, what does the Yehuda do with the word yahdav? Which sounds like it has to be uniform from the bottom to the top. He says, no. Hahu delo lishlachofinu na'adadeh. That all just teaches us that when you're placing them on the Mishkan, they have to be flush with each other. You should not put one in and one out, which is yahdav. They have to be uniform. So therefore, each rabbi has a source for the configuration of the kedesh. Again, the Yehuda says the kedesh is what? It came to a point on top. And his proof is from the word tamim. And he proves from another pasuk that the word tamim means cut. Tamim, tamu nichratu. And he'll hold that the yahdav pasuk just teaches us that they have to be straight in line. And the other rabbi, Ibn Hamya, says no. The kedashim were actually amma, and they went all the way up to an amma. And he learns that from the pasuk yahdav. What does he do with the pasuk tamim? He learns that it has to come from one piece of wood, and you cannot use it from fragments of wood. Now the Gemara says, Bishlama leman damar keshem shem lematan ovyan amma, kach mil ma'lan ovyan amma. Which means, according to the opinion that says, that on the bottom of the Kiddush it was an amma, and it went all the way up to an amma, Hainu dichtiv, now it makes sense what the pasuk says, ul yarkate hamishkan yama, which means on the southern side of the mishkan, ta'ase shisha kirashim, right? They made six kirashim. I'm sorry, yama means on the western side of the mishkan. The western side had six kirashim across, okay? The north and south side had 20, and the eastern side was open. Okay, so on the western side it says what? You have to place six kirashim, ushne kirashim ta'ase lemiksaot. And you have to put two corner pieces. Because again, you need to attach the north side to the west, and the south side to the west with corner pieces, because again, the kirashim are six on this side, so there's a little gap, right, on the corner. So it says, if you have a kiddush that's one amma going all the way up, right? It's a straight measurement. De ate futya dehane memale lelesumcha dehane, which means let's figure it out. This will be a perfect corner. Why? Let's analyze it. You have, let's say, the northern side. You need to fill in an amma thickness on that side. And you need to fill in a half an amma on the west side. So by placing an amma kiddush, by an amma and a half, and you place it down, the half amma will fill in the gap on the west side, and the amma will be flush against the kiddush on the north side, and therefore it's a perfect corner piece. She's the corner piece will be flush with the other pieces. If you'd like to see the picture of that, look at on page 113. First, you see the different kedashim. You see 498. You see how the kedash, according to one opinion, went to the thickness of an etzba. And you see the next picture. You see where it was the same height from the bottom to the top, right? In the next picture, over in 500, you see a kedash that would be made out of two pieces, which would not be good. Then on the bottom, you see the corner pieces now. Look at picture 501. You see the south side, you see the north side, you see the west side. Okay? Now you have six kedashim. Right? Now the corner piece is, you see, it's 1.5 amma width. So now that one amma will lie flush against the northern kedash, and that other half amma will fill in the gap from the western side. So therefore, it's a perfect fit. However, if you're going to say the kirashim came to a point, so now the corners are going to be, one part is going to be going in and one part is going to be going out. Now you're not going to be able to put corner pieces in. It's not going to fit. Look at 502. If you configure it like this, you see it's going to be, the corner pieces are going to be protruding out. Because again, you have to picture it that the kedashim themselves are coming to a narrow point. So that's going to cause like a little gap at the corner. This piece is not going to fit in. So the Gemara asks, and we go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ela leman damar. But if you learn that the configuration of the kedashim is that they got thin to an etzba, hay ayil v'hay nafik, which means when you put the corner piece in, part of it's going to go in and part of it's going to protrude out. So the Gemara says, "Dishafi lehu kiturian." You're right. The corner pieces, you're going to have to make special custom-made corner pieces that are shaped like the two sides of a mountain. Like if you look in the books on 114, picture 503, you see that they're going to have to cut out from the Kedesh a special piece in order to fit in the corner, which means if you hold that the Kedashim or the standard measurement, one amah all the way up, a corner piece fits perfectly. You're able to stick the corner in, it'll lie flush against the southern side, let's say, an amah, it'll fill in half a amah on the other side, and now it's a perfect square. But if you learn that they came to a point, so now the corners are not going to be perfect, meaning when you stick that corner piece, which is the same shi'ud, it's going to protrude out. And therefore the Gemara says, you're right, the two corner pieces were not like all the other kedashim. You have to say that they fashioned special corner pieces in order to fit in that little, it's an awkward shape that it'll cause on the side. So it says, you're right, you'll have to shave it like they are the two sides of a mountain. You have to stick that little piece in. So it comes out, according to this opinion, 46 of the kedashim had the same shape, and two had a different shape. Well, according to the first opinion, they were all exactly the same shi'ud. Comes the Gemara and says, now, this is a miracle. We know that, let's say you had 48 kedashim now around the Mishkan, and they all had these rings, right? And they would stick a bariyah, bariyah is like a bolt, they would stick across the rings in order to hold it from falling. However, the Hiddush is they would place one bolt. And after placing one bolt, so that means it must have turned, you know, after it goes down the southern border, it's got to turn right to the west, it's got to turn left to go down to the south. Now that's a miracle. So the Gemara says, Vabariya Hatichon Betoka Kedashim. Right? You had the center beam going through the Kedashim. Tana Benes Haya Omed. We have to say that this was miraculous that it was able to swing around and go through all the Kedashim, which is the normal way of doing it, is making three bolts, one on each side. Here there was one center bolt that went around through all the Taba'on. Now the Gemara says, we know from the Torah that what? They used to place coverings over the Mishkan. There were actually three coverings over the Mishkan. Today's Gemara, we're going to learn about two of the coverings. Okay, so it says, Ve'et HaMishkan. Mishkan was the name of the first covering that they placed over the Mishkan itself, right? So it's whenever you see the word Mishkan, it could be one of two things, the tabernacle itself, or the Mishkan is the covering that they placed over the boards of the Mishkan. So it says, Ta'aseh Eser Yiriot. Now the first covering of the Mishkan was made up of 10 pieces of skin. They took 10 skins and they sewed them together. Okay, so it was made up of 10 components. Eser Yiriot. The length of these yiriot were 28 amah long. Okay? Now we're giving you the length of the each yiriah is 28 amah. Now the Gemara says, Shadi urchayu lefutyad de mishkan. Place the length of the yiriot over the width of the Mishkan. Now, the width of the Mishkan across is going to be 10 amot. Okay? Which means, let's analyze it ourselves. If you have over here, you have, let's say, the width, the back wall was 6 kedashim. Each kedesh, we said, is 1.5 amah. 1.5 amah, that would, 6 times 1.5 would be 9. Plus you have half on each side, which would be the corner pieces, so that would give you the inside width of 10. So therefore, when you drape this cover over, which is 28 amah long, so 10 of the 28 is going to rest over the Mishkan. Now you're going to have an additional 18, right? 9 will drape on one side and nine will drape on the other side. So the Gemara analyzes. You have 28 amma of yiriyah. Dal esir li'igra. Take away 10 for the roof of the Mishkan, right? For the inside of the Mishkan. So you're left with 9 on one side and 9 on the other side, right? Because all together we have 28. Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says the Kirashim came to a point, so therefore you're not taking any space of Yiri'ah for the fact that it's draping, because it's not, there's no width on the top, so you have a pure 9 on each side. So it says Migalya Amad Adanim, you'll have it draped 9 down. Now, how long do we say the Kiddush is? 10. Now the bottom of the Kiddush was placed in a socket in what was called Adanim. Meaning, let's just remind ourselves how it worked. The bottom of the Kiddush, if you want to look at your pictures as we say, look at 507. The bottom of each Kiddush actually looked like a plug, where you had two prongs coming out, and those two prongs fit into a socket. That's 505. It was perfectly fashioned where the prongs of the Kiddushim would fit into the socket that also had two holes, right? So when you looked at the Mishkan, the bottom Amma, you saw a socket, because the bottom of the Kiddush was placed in a socket. So you had 9 Amma of Kiddushim, and the last Amma you saw the socket, the Adanim, the Kiddush was inside of it. Now, if you're going to learn that you had 9 Amma on both sides, that means the 9 Amma of Yiri'ah would drape all the way down until the socket, meaning the sockets were showing. Okay, they were visible. However, if you learn according to Rav Nehemia, that says that you had a thickness of a Amma, right, on the Kiddushim themselves going up, which means they were Amma and Amma, so now you lose, exactly, you lose an Amma on both sides. So therefore, it's not going to take 10 to cover, it's going to take 12, right? Because Amma on the north and south side of the Mishkan. So you have 12. How much leftover Yiri'ah do you have? You're going to have 16. So it's going to drape 8 Amma on each side, which means not only are you going to have the Amma of the Aden showing, but you're going to have 1 Amma of Kiddush showing as well. So that's a very important nafkamina between the two opinions. Based on the configuration of the Kiddush, that's going to affect how much the first cover of the Mishkan actually covered the planks of the Mishkan. And the Gemara says that inside. The Gemara says on the third line, L'Rabbi Yehuda migalya amad adanim. For Rabbi Yehuda, the Amma of the Adanim is going to be revealed. L'Rabbi Nehemia migalya amad kirashim. Right? But for Rabbi Nehemia, an Amma of the Kirashim is going to be revealed. Now, Shadi putyayu le'urka de mishkan. Now, let's take the width of the Yiri'ot. Now, each Yiri'ah was 4 amut. The width of each Yiri'ah was 4. Now they had 10 Yiri'ot they sewed to each other. So the width of this whole Yiri'ah, this whole cover, was 40 Amot. Okay, it was 28 Amot long, and then the width way of it was 40 Amot. Now, again, just picture it as draping it over the Mishkan. Now you have 40 Amot going the length of the Mishkan. Now what was the length of the Mishkan? How much was the Yiri'ot? 40. Dal taltin le'igra. Take away 30 for the Mishkan. Now how do we know that? Because the sides were 20, right? The length is 20. 20 times 1.5 is 30. So therefore, if you have 40, right, measurement, 40 amav yiri'ah, so that'll cover the entire top. And how much you have left over? You have 10. Now the 10 is going to drape on the backside of the Mishkan, on the western wall of the Mishkan. It'll be perfect, it'll go all the way down, it'll cover the Adanim as well, right? Because it's perfect 10. So it says Pashelehu Asara, you're left with 10. According to the Rabbi Yehuda, since the Kereshim came to a point so you don't lose any space on top, it'll perfectly cover the Adanim. The Rav Nehemia Megalia Amad Adanim. Whereas according to Rav Nehemia, you're losing an Amah on top, right? On the western side, you have an Amah. So therefore, you're only going to have 9 Amot. So it's going to drape down 9 Amot. So on the western side, it's going to be revealed what? 1 Amah of Adanim. Okay, so that's another Nafkamina. So we discuss now what the first cover looked like. You have the sides, where according to Rav Nehemia, you have 1 Amah of Kedesh and 1 Amah of Adin, and on the back side of the Mishkan, meaning on the western side, you have the Adin showing, whereas according to the Bihuda, on the sides of the Mishkan, you just have the Adin showing, and in the back, it's a perfect 10, the whole thing is being covered. Now, we discussed the second covering of the Mishkan. Ve'asita yiriot izim le'ohel. You made a second covering called yiriot izim, and that was called the ohel. The first one was called the Mishkan. The second covering is called the ohel. Now, orech hayiriah achat shloshim ba'amah. Now, these were a little longer. The first covering was 28 amah. The second covering actually was 30 amah. So let's now analyze it again. If you're going to have 30 amah of yiriah, now you're going to place it over, you're draping it over the Mishkan, so you have, according to, let's say, the Yehuda, a perfect 10 on top. You have 10 on both sides, which is it'll go all the way down, this time covering the Adanim. Now, Shadi Urkayu Lefut Shadi Mishkan. Place the length of these Yiriot to the width of the Mishkan. What are you going to have? Kamahab Yu Taltin. You're going to have 30 altogether, because the Yiriot were 30 long. Dal Esel Igra. Take 10 for the roof. You're going to be left with 10 on this side and 10 on that side. According to the Biyuda, it's going to cover now the Adanim. Right? What the first cover did not cover, the second will. Why? Because according to the Nehemia, we know that you ought to have a 30 length. Right? Now, the Mishkan across, we said the width of it is 10. However, it's really 12, according to Rav Nehemia, because you have to factor the Amah of the Kedesh on the north and south side. So you have 12. How much you left with? You're left with 18. 18 would be 9 on one side and 9 on the other side. That would drape down, going all the way down up until the Adin, which means the first cover even revealed an Amah of the Kedesh, whereas the second covered the Amah of that Kedesh, but you still have an Amah of the Adanim. Now the Gemara continues. Tanya Nami Achei, we have a Braita to support these views. It says, Ve'amah mizeh ba'odef lechasot amah shel adanim. Devre Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Nehemia omer lechasot amah shel kerashim. Meaning we have a braita that says the following. There's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, Ve'amah mizeh be'odef, which is on the second covering you had two extra amot. Right, because the first covering was 28 amot long, the second covering was 30. So that would give you an amah extra on each side. So the pasuk says, "Ve'amah mizeh be'odef," with the extra lechasot, it would cover. So now we have a mahloket what that extra amah is covering. Amah shel adanim. That's according to the Biyuda. Right? The Biyuda said that extra Amah is going to cover the Adanim. Rabbi Nehemia Omer Lechasot Amah Shel Kedashim. He'll say no, that extra Amah is covering the one Amah of Kedesh that was revealed from the first covering. So the Braita supports these two things. Now we go back. Shadi Futyayu Le'urke De Mishkan. Now let's discuss the width of the second Yiriot, the second covering, and let's place it to the length of the Mishkan. Kamavya mem ve'arba. Now each yiriah again was 4 amot. The second covering had 11 yiriot attached to each other. So 11 yiriot. Each yiriah has a width of 4 amot. So that's 44 amot. So 44 amot going across the length of the Mishkan. So that's already 30. Right? So now you're left with 14. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to tell us that on the eastern side of the Mishkan, the eastern side, it had to drape down the shi'ur of half a yiri'ah. So half a yiri'ah would be two amot. So you had two amot draping down on the eastern side. So now you have 12 amah left. The 12 amah would drape down on the western side, meaning 10 amah all the way down. And then you had two amot draping on the floor itself. The Gemara is going to say, like a gown of a kala that drapes behind her. So again, that would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda, you don't lose any amah on the kereshim because they come to a point. So let's review again that calculation. It's 44 across. So take 30 for the actual length of the Mishkan. Take an additional 2 that would drape over the front of the Mishkan. That'll leave you with 12. And that would drape behind the Mishkan, 10 down plus 2 on the ground. The Gemara says, Dal taltin igra. Take 30 for the roof. Pashelehu arba'asare. So you're left with 14. Dal tarte lechafla. Take 2 for the kefir. The kefir is referring to what was on the eastern side. Tichtiv, vechafalta te yiri'ah shishit el mul penea oil. She's the 6th yiri'ah, which was the one that was closest to the eastern side. They would fold it over, right? They would fold over half of the yiri'ah, meaning 2 amot, so it would be draping down. Okay? Pashelehu tarte sare. So you're left with 12. So therefore the Gemara says, now, let's analyze the Koyter of Nehemiah. How would it be? Koyter of Nehemiah, you'd have, it's the same measurement, it's 44, right? So you'd have the 30, right? You'd have the 32, the 2 on the western side, eastern side. However, you have to factor in an extra amah because of the width of the western kirashim, and therefore you're going to have 11 amah left. So it would drape down 10, so it would only drag on the floor, exactly, 1 amah. So it comes to Gemara and says, Bishtamal Rabbi Yehuda, Hainu Dichtib, Hatsi Hayri'ah Ha'odefet, Tisrah. Which means the Pasuk clearly tells us, half of the Yiri'ah, Tisrah, will drag. Now according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's very good. He had 2 amot on the floor, which is on the western side. It went down 10 plus 2 amah of draping. So therefore, that's what the pasuk says. Hatsiya yiri'ah ha'odefet, half of a yiri'ah that was extra, meaning 2 amah, tislah. Tislah meaning it draped down. That's good according to Rabbi Yehuda. However, El Rav Nehemia, my tislah. What do you mean tislah? Which is, it did not drape 2 amah, that only draped 1 amah. So the Gemara says, Tisrah mehavruteha. No, which means from its friend. Which means, we learned, this is the second covering, right? The first covering actually left over 1 amah of kedesh, right? So now we're coming along to say, Tisrah mehavruteha, which means from, or actually I should say, on the, let's review, on the back side of it, you only had 1 amah of adanim being shown according to Rav Nehemia. So from the adin, it's 1 plus 1 on the ground. So it means tisrah from its friend, meaning it's 2 amah more than the first one, which is according to Rav Yehuda, it's 2 amah on the ground. According to Rav Yehuda, it's only 1, Rav Nehemia, it's only 1 amah on the ground. So what does it mean, hatsi yiri'ah? Yeah, it's a hatsi yiri'ah more than the last one. Because the first one, exactly, the Mishkan covering, sure, took it to the Adin. So the Adin is showing that's 1 amah more of Adin, plus 1 amah of the draping on the ground. So that means, tisrah mehavruteha. Comes and Gemara concludes, Tana de Ben Yishmael. We learned in the bright of Rabbi Ishmael, Lema Mishkan Dome, what is the Mishkan analogous to? The Isha Shemalechet Bishuk, like a lady that's walking in the marketplace, Vishipulea Mealchina Hareha, and she has, let's say, a train behind her, meaning her dress or a gown drapes behind her. Shipulea meaning the draping of her dress. So the setting of the Mishkan, If you looked at the Mishkan, the back of the Mishkan, meaning the Sad Ma'alavi, draped down. So basically, our Gemara, just in conclusion, discussed a few topics today. The first topic of the Gemara's Chiddush was the Shuyot Mitzarfot, that we're able to combine different domains, meaning the Shut Arabims, for the Shiur of Fu Amot. Then the Gemara gave us a rule that the Shut Arabim has to be not roofed, and based on the configuration of the Agalot, we were able to make them where the Shut Arabims are not roofed, but placing the Kedashim in a crypt formation, and therefore in between, underneath the Agalah as well, because the Agalah did not have a flat board on them. The Agalah had slats, and therefore that was also not roofed. And then the last point, we saw a Mahlok, between Rabbi Yehudan of Nehemia, in the configuration of the Kedashim. Either they were an Ammah all the way up, like the Pasuk says Yahdav, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, they came to a point, and that would be based on the Pasuk Tamim, like Tamim Tamu Nechratu. Based on that, it's going to affect how the coverings of the Mishkans actually draped over the sides, the north side and the south side, and as well as the western side. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. In the previous Shiurim and in the upcoming Shiurim, we are and have been referring to different pictures of the different cases that the Daf is referring to. We are using a Sefer called Perush Chai. And therefore, if our listeners want to purchase the Perush Chai and follow along as we announce the numbers in that book where these pictures are, it would be a tremendous aid in order to understand the cases more clearly.